Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church and America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. There's a lot in the news with the Da Vinci Code movie, The Church in Greece. Now, Bob Enyart Live, we're going for a Bible tour of Greece next week, May 18th, 26 of us are headed to Athens. We're going to have a wonderful time. And in Greece, the country is what, 97% Greek Orthodox, which is quasi-Christian to some extent. It's some kind of Christianity. We went to Turkey 2 years ago for 3 weeks, and that country is 99% Muslim. So it'll be interesting to be in Greece, and of course, we'll witness to the locals about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But the Greek Orthodox Church has a leaflet that they're going to distribute to all churchgoers this Sunday. And it states, from a historical point of view, the Da Vinci Code book is wholly false. That's a good point. And Tom Hanks is fighting back against the Greek Orthodox and the Catholics and the evangelicals. And he is saying, this is according to a newspaper in Britain, this is London, that he says, look, if you're going to take any sort of movie at face value, particularly a huge budget motion picture like this, you'd be making a very big mistake. It's a good story and a lot of fun. It's all dialogue. That never hurts. And that is such a con on his part, because Tom Hanks knows that the book has sold 40 million copies and millions of people are using it to encourage them to reject Jesus Christ as our creator, our Savior, to reject the body of Christ and the Christian gospel. So that's a scam. And he used a word in that quote that I left out, but that word might be very applicable to his eternal future. But I left it out. Hey, terrible news in this country. I told you about my producer friend. He's a producer of another radio show in Denver, and he's Googled teacher and arrest to look into teachers who are arrested for sexual crimes. And with Google, you could sign up for an alert, and they'll email you every time there's news on any subject you put in there. And so here are some of the stories. These didn't come from him. These are just some of the stories that flood our inbox. Here is a Florida assistant principal accused of telling students to videotape their sex. So if they're having relational problems, he could watch the video and advise them. This is the vice principal at a public high school in DeLand, Florida. How do you pronounce that? DeLand, Florida? DeLand, Florida? And so when students at this DeLand High School get into trouble, they have to see the assistant principal, the vice principal, and it turns out he'll give them advice on how to videotape their behavior. Pretty despicable. Let's see, in St. Louis, Missouri, 12 boys in the first and second grade have been suspended for the rest of the year after being accused of sexually assaulting a second grade girl. During recess, one teacher's been fired and another suspended with pay. The principal in Florida, who is recommending the teen students videotape their sexual behavior and show it to him, he's been suspended with pay, maybe for years, pending criminal charges, the outcome of those charges. So it just goes on and on. In Oakmont High School in Roseville, California, 13 students have been suspended because they had a homosexual day of silence at their school, and the Gay and Lesbian, Straight and Education Network, they promote this day of silence. So these Christian kids wore T-shirts that said homosexuality is sin, Jesus can set you free, and they were suspended, and the kids who wore the pro-homosexual T-shirts, they were encouraged by the school administration. So that brings us to Northern Kentucky University, and there were pro-lifers there. with the support of the school, you know, they're a pro-life club, and they set up crosses, little white crosses, that they called the Cemetery of Innocence. And there were pro-aborts, liberals on campus who didn't like the crosses there. And so I thought that pro-aborts, liberals, tend to be supportive of free speech, tolerance, openness, diversity. But I want to go to a columnist with WorldNet Daily, Jill Stanek. Jill, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Jill, why didn't Professor Sally Jacobson view this as just free speech?
She is a rabid pro-abort, as we would call her in our world.
Yep.
And she was teaching a class overlooking a knoll that had this display of 600 little crosses representing the children killed by abortion, and apparently became so enraged that she solicited her students to go outside during break and destroy the crosses, and not only destroy them, but put them in dumpsters in various places around the campus so that they wouldn't be easily reconstructed.
Right.
And she said she was outraged by the display. She compared it to a Nazi display on Fountain Square.
Yeah, then, if I understand, the Nazis filled the mass graves with innocent victims, and the pro-life Christians are trying to stop the filling of mass graves with innocent victims killed by abortion.
Well, that would certainly be our comparison, but
yeah,
it was not the comparison that she was going for. Uh-huh. And actually, news is just out today that the students who were in with her on this crime were yesterday given a diversion program, which meant that the charges were dropped if they performed some sort of community service.
And
she's still in trouble.
Jill Stanek, we're talking to, columnist at WorldNet Daily. Hopefully they'll have to, as part of their community service and diversion program, have to stay at least 200 yards away from any pro-lifers.
That would help keep us safe.
Yeah, that's right. So, Jill, let's talk about it seriously, and then I want to get to the column you wrote on May 3rd, which is just hysterical, about your analysis of what might be going on that campus. But they do claim, as liberals, to value freedom of speech and tolerance and diversity above all else.
Well, that clearly goes only one way. And I think the pro-life movement has been unfairly disparaged for at least 20 years now as being the violent group, when it's absolutely not true. It's been a stigma that they tried to place on us to get us to shut up, when it's clear that they are the violent group. They're the ones actually committing murder every day in these abortion mills. And so why wouldn't we expect them to resort to violence when they don't see their way as easily as they had in the past, which is what's going on today? And actually, you know, what you're talking about that went on at Northern Kentucky University is just one example of an outbreak of violence on university campuses this spring of pro-aborts against pro-lifers.
And that's on campuses. We here in Denver, Colorado, we have a very active pro-life Christian community, and there have been thousands of events put on by our local pro-lifers, and consistently on college campuses, at high schools like Boulder, Colorado, where CU is, University of Colorado, the Boulder high schools, that's probably the most hostile place we've ever gone to talk to kids. I mean, you'll get assaulted, spit on, burned, literally, cigarette burns or the whole matches to the back of your coat. And these are the students of probably the most liberal high school in the country, or one of the most. And that in Denver, Colorado, one of the pro-lifers had their car, their van open, the doors, and some pro-abort tossed in some kind of a Molotov cocktail, something like that, that exploded, and there were chemical burns throughout the vehicle. And we report this to the police, and it's like they pretty much couldn't care less.
Yeah, you know what? I had the exact same experience when I was part of a picket here in northern Illinois at Lutheran General Hospital a couple of years ago. A hospital employee came out during the picket and just went on a little rampage and took some of our signs out of our hands, threw them in the snowy street, and they were destroyed. And when the police were called, they said it was a matter of he said, she said. That we said he did it.
Right.
He said he didn't do it. We threw our own signs around, and so the policeman threw up his hands and said he couldn't prosecute.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the tide is turning, Bob. I think that's part of what we're starting to also see on these, not only college campuses, but I think as America increasingly becomes pro-life and police become more sensitive to our issue, I think that they're going to be more sensitive to protecting us.
I sure hope so. Let me tell you real quickly one other event that happened here. For 15 years, we've gone to an abortionist home on the holidays. We call it our holiday abortionist home visit. And the goal, like Christmas morning, New Year's, Mother's Day, July 4th, and the goal is to discourage medical students from becoming abortionists.
Right.
And it's really pretty effective because even though these medical students are, so many of them are overwhelmingly pro-choice, they just don't want to become abortionists. And we were protesting on July 4th. We had about 40 people there. We were running foot races in the cul-de-sac and frisbee tosses. We had a barbecue. We really were doing it up. And a neighbor of the abortionist came and sped up her car toward about a half a dozen of us, including a baby in a stroller. And people literally jumped to avoid her car. We called 911. The police came. And they gave her a ticket for vehicular threatening. And the reason they did, that shocked us, but she bragged to the police what she did.
Ah.
So the next day, the sheriff of Arapahoe County in Colorado, he put out a press release and he dropped the charges against the woman.
Oh.
Because the target apparently was pro-lifers, and I guess it's open season.
Well, we have seen that a lot, and actually Sally Jacobson, the professor that we're talking about, bragged about what she did, too, as well, and didn't realize that it would get national attention and then later expressed regret, but it was too late.
So what's up for her? I mean, this is clearly a violation of the First Amendment free speech rights. I hate to put it that way because we had the right to free speech before the Constitution was written. So it's a violation of free speech rights. And this teacher orchestrated her students to violate these rights. So what is she looking at?
She actually incited her students to destroy this display based on their free speech rights, she said. And, you know, before now I understood free speech to mean free speech, but she meant it to be free destruction. But
right.
That's what she stood on.
Right.
To get them to help her. Well, she hasn't been charged yet. She has left town.
Huh.
She is currently working on a paper in an undisclosed location and has not
All right.
been, according to her attorney, has not been served yet, and the judge has given her until May 23rd to show up in court and answer charges. She's charged with theft, criminal mischief, and criminal solicitation.
All right.
She's been suspended, and she's retiring, by the way, at the end of the school year.
All right. So, now, Jill, you wrote a rather humorous column on this topic, and you wondered what logical explanation can there be for Professor Sally Jacobson going berserk over these crosses that were erected at Northern Kentucky University, and the crosses, of course, were to memorialize the babies killed by abortion. And you came to the conclusion that she might be a vampire.
Yeah, you know, I did a little research on this, Bob.
Yeah.
And the fact that she became so enraged while looking at these crosses, you know, spurred a memory inside of me. You know, isn't that what gets to vampires, too? And so I did a little research, and, you know, I have come to the conclusion that she is indeed a vampire and just could not contain herself.
And,
when she saw these crosses,
and
that could be why she's missing, why they can't charge her during the day.
That's right. And because it was daylight, she couldn't go out and do this herself. She had to send out her minions.
Well, actually, that kind of like there's a little hole in my theory there, because she did go out, and that's actually one of the reasons that she has been so easily charged. She was so enraged that she didn't mind doing what she did in the presence of a school photographer. So she was caught on film as destroying these signs, so she had no way out of it.
Was she heavily cloaked?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, vampires, they live off the blood of the innocents. It's interesting that society draws a picture of, you know, a hideous monster, and it would be something that lives off the blood of innocents. And it turns out that that's what our abortion industry is in reality.
Right. For 33 years, the abortion industry vampires have lived off the highest volume of human blood, in innocent human blood, in world history. We're talking 45 million babies and counting. 3,500 are added to that number every day. And again, it's been strange that black has become white and white has become black, and through all this course of time, we've been the ones that have been labeled as violent.
Right. You know, back in the civil rights movement, that movement was, you know, largely peaceful, but it had a strong violent component to it. And it's like the pro-life movement today, which the pro-life movement almost universally condemns violence and condemns killing abortionists. But what was interesting is the violent fringe of the civil rights movement in the 60s, the murders that took place. And Hillary Clinton was a law student at Yale, and she volunteered for the ACLU to monitor the trials to make sure none of the defendants' rights were violated. The Black Panthers were guilty of murdering people. So that's the contrast between Hillary, who's a hero, and today, of course, anyone trying to defend an extremist who killed an abortionist, we would vilify that person, and rightly so.
Yes, I think one of the Black Panthers went on to be a congressman, and there's been a recent flack in Chicago because one of the aldermen in Chicago has wanted to rename a street after one of the Black Panthers, and it's just evidence of the liberals' agenda always seeming to pick the wrong side.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a correlation between the civil rights movement and the modern-day pro-life movement that all of this violence on campus brings out, and that is that the civil rights movement was really kicked off in the late 1950s by pictures that were taken of a boy, Emmett Till, who was murdered by whites down in Mississippi and viciously murdered, his head wrapped in barbed wire. And when his mom got his casket back here in Chicago, she insisted on an open casket and pictures.
That's right. Open casket funeral.
Yes, three days, right.
And Emmett Till is partially responsible for beginning the huge public outcry against the treatment of blacks in America.
Right.
And so it was that image of the wickedness done to the innocent that sparked that movement to correct, you know, terrible social wrongs in America. And similarly, the pro-life movement shows the pictures of children who have been mangled and murdered by abortionists.
Right. I think that every modern-day civil rights movement has been launched by pictures. You know, the kids being forced to work in slave labor early turn of the century, the 20th century, you know, that was kind of ignored until the spotlight of pictures was shined on that. A photographer went into where they were working and took pictures of these kids.
Mm-hmm.
The Holocaust, of course.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's why I have no problem, and I think that showing graphic images of what is done to these babies today is the right thing to do.
When we're on college campuses, do you know the group called Justice for All?
Yes.
Aren't they just great?
Yeah.
Yeah, Justice for All. We have them here in Colorado every year. And I've gone to some of their training, and they have pointed out on a college campus, and we do this for years, if students come up and they object to your signs, you just mention Emmett Till.
Right.
And it really sets them back because they're very supportive of using that graphic imagery to show a social wrong, and now their hypocrisy comes out when they don't want people to see what it is they support, the killing of a child.
Right. I think what JFA is doing and other organizations by going onto college campuses is actually encouraging pro-life students on campus to become more outspoken. And in this past spring, the violence that has erupted against pro-life displays hasn't been because the pro-life displays were graphic, but along the lines of the fact that the American nation is becoming more pro-life, these students, as they go to college, are becoming more outspoken. And I think that is part of what is throwing the other side off, and their stronghold is on these university campuses. And I think that's why they're being provoked to violence, because not only are these kids becoming vocal now and expressing the pro-life message in very unique ways, very profound, provocative ways, but also because innately, the pro-aborts are kind of reading the tea leaves and getting a sense that there is a decline in support of their position.
Well, I sure hope that to be the case, and I know that Christians need to keep up the pressure and show people that the difference between right and wrong, and that it's wrong to kill an innocent living human being. Now, David Lee, he's the founder of Justice for All. He's extraordinary what he does on the college campuses. And a while back, my son and I, Josiah Enyart, and I had lunch with Josh McDowell. You know that name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was some Columbine families meeting with Josh McDowell. Josh wrote Evidence That Demands a Verdict and More Than a Carpenter. And he pointed out that 30 years ago, if you went on a college campus and you said that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, they would say, prove it. Today, when you go on a college campus, they say, you have no right to be here. You have no right to say that.
Yeah.
It's quite a change.
Yeah, there has been. It's frightening.
Mm-hmm. That, and, Jill, we're noticing that on college campuses, even high schools, that kids, for many years now, they've denied the existence of right and wrong. That's been common now for maybe 15 years. They'll say there's no such thing as right or wrong. But the later development is now, we think the number is in the millions, where they say there is no such thing as truth, that truth doesn't exist.
Right, and I think abortion is all part of that, that we have taught these kids that by explaining to them that it's okay, it's all relative. You know, if you're pregnant and the baby is being born at an inconvenient time in your life, well then, in other cases, the baby might be considered a human being and worth protecting, but not when it's relative to you. I think that's all part of what we're seeing, and so it shouldn't come as a surprise.
We're speaking with Jill Stanek, a columnist at WorldNet Daily. We just have another moment. World Magazine named the 30 most prominent pro-life leaders of the past 30 years. And Jill, you were on that list, which is extraordinary. Why don't you describe to the audience how it is that you became so committed to the right of an unborn child to live?
Well, sure, Bob. I'm a registered nurse, and I went to work at Christ Hospital on the southwest side of Chicago in the 1990s, thinking it was a pro-life hospital, and found out, of course, by its name, but found out that it was involved in abortion, and not only abortion, but that they aborted babies alive and allowed them to die. And I held a live aborted baby for 45 minutes until he died, and that was a life-changing event for me. He had Down syndrome. And I tried to talk to the hospital privately to get them to stop, as I thought the Bible said we should do, Matthew 18, and when they wouldn't stop, and when private appeals from influential people didn't get them to stop, I went public and stayed at the hospital for 2 years after I went public, because I just thought that I'd been put in that time and a place for a reason, and I couldn't quit. And I was eventually fired and was asked to testify in Washington about my experiences and what I knew was going on, and was asked for the signing of the Born Alive Infants Protection Act in 2002.
Jill Stanek, thank you for being heroic and exposing what it is you found at that Christ Hospital. Something I'd like to share with you in closing. I pastor Denver Bible Church, and it's a very strong pro-life activist church. And our church constitution, in there, the elders of the church have decided, as we were planted by another church, that after three generations of leaders, that our church will disband. It'll liquidate its assets and donate whatever resources we have to other ministries and dissolve the church. And the reason is, we've noticed, when you look historically, every university started to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, eventually becomes worldly. They support evolution. There is no right or wrong. Hospitals that are started by Christians eventually end up doing sex change operations and abortions. And there is no real reversal of that process. Once an institution becomes godless, it never gets better. Like Harvard, Princeton, Yale, we shouldn't expect that they're going to become godly once again.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I wanted,
interesting concept.
Run that thought by you, because, of course, Jesus Christ said you can't put new wine in old wineskins.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that every institution gets old, and once it's old, it's dead to the Lord and alive to the world. So, Jill Stanek, thank you so much. It really is an honor to have you on this show.
Well, sure. It's an honor to be here, Bob, and invite me anytime. I'd love to speak with you again.
Well, we will do that. And you have many people in our audience who are fans of your column.
Yes. I know one in particular, Leslie Hanks, who connected us. Now.
Leslie Hanks. She is just great. So thank you. God bless you, Jill.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. That's so neat to have Jill Stanek on the show. And again, her column at WorldNet Daily. You'll enjoy reading that. And the one on May 3rd was really pretty funny, that she figured out what was up with Professor Sally Jacobson. She might be a vampire. So it was a good one. We'll be back right after this. Hi, this is Bob Benyart. If you'd like to hear more, then you could subscribe to our Bob Benyart Live Bible Studies, our monthly videos, our sermons. For the Bible Studies, you get an entire album on audio tape or MP3 CD for $34.95 a month. Or you could get our videos or sermons every month mailed to you for just $24.95 a month. To subscribe, please call 800-8-BENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. That's 800-836-9278. Or you could subscribe online at kgov.com. So check us out on the web at kgov.com for Bob Benyart Live. We're back, Bob Benyart Live. And is Bill Clinton a jerk or what? Is Bill Clinton a jerk or what? I'm not even going to report the particulars of this Reuters news story, but it's about the dramatic increase in non-traditional sex among teenagers in America, and boys and young girls, self-reported dramatic increase, double, more than double, almost triple incidence of sex. Remember, Bill Clinton said, oh, that's not sex. Well, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. And so you have a lying fornicator as the president of the United States, and he gets good approval ratings from other lying fornicators. And, of course, he encourages people to lie and to fornicate, and that destroys lives. And in the case of Enron, for example, you know, liberals are good at hating the Enron scandal, and whenever people lie, then we should be angry at that. But they don't make the connection to between the when the president lies, and then people of corporations see one of the most successful people in the world is a pathetic liar, lies pretty much whenever his lips are moving, and then they think, hey, our culture doesn't mind lying. In fact, they approve of it. And then you lie as the CEO of a billion-dollar corporation, and the result is that people lose their retirement savings. So that's pretty despicable. It was great to have Jill Stanek on the show. And again, you're invited to read her column at WorldNet Daily. And you might want to email her there and let her know you heard her on Bob and Yurt Live. And she'll enjoy that. And before we go to the phones, I just want to say goodbye. Actually, I want to tell you the etymology of the word goodbye. And for public school teachers tuning in right now, I'm not talking about the study of insects. That's entomology. I'm talking about the etymology of the word goodbye. That is a contraction of the phrase, God be with you. God be with you. And that contracted to goodbye. And that's pretty cool. I like to know things like that. It's fun. It's neat how God and the Bible permeates our culture. It's just so very neat. Right? And also, man, this assistant principal in Florida, I'm just so upset at this, where he gets to keep his income. His paycheck keeps rolling in, perhaps for years, paid leave, and he's the public school vice principal who encouraged students to videotape themselves having sex, and he encouraged girls to be intimate with one another, and other despicable things. Just really gross. Okay, we have two calls, and one looks like it'll be shorter than the other, so I'll take the shorter one first. Let's go to Indiana Quinn. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, sir. I know that you emailed us with a protest you're planning for a woman from Indiana who's going to appear in Playboy.
From Fort Wayne, Indiana. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you guys are going to be protesting there, and it's despicable. Apparently, even her father approves of what she's doing, which shows how disgusting our culture is.
Yeah, he used the exact words. He's excited about her being in, you know, doing this.
Yeah, it's disgusting. So you guys are going to protest. Good for you, Quinn.
Yeah, we're going to hand out info to those who are standing in line to get their magazine signed. And it's an amazing, it's the location of this place. It's at a pipe and tobacco store. And right across the street is the Allen County, basically a court building where people go to do, you know, small claims courts. So the law is enforced right across the street, but they're allowing a crime of pornography to be not for it to occur, but to be celebrated
right
across the street.
And it is a crime to sexually exploit human beings. Nudity, sexual behavior is to be private and within marriage. So it is criminal. You know, if a country says you could own blacks as property, as cattle, that doesn't mean it's really legitimate. That just means the government is broken. If the government says you could kill Jews, that doesn't mean you really can, as though it's okay. It's still murder. And if a government says you can sexually exploit women or men to create pornography, it's really wrong. And what we need is our Christian leaders to get the courage to say that pornography, the sexual exploitation of women, should be recriminalized because it's really wrong.
That's right. And I know we used to do that because I've seen older TV clips back in the early 80s where leaders like Jerry Falwell and others were you know, saying that pornography is wrong and should be, you know, not allowed.
Wow. And I know that today many of our Christian leaders, like Focus on the Family, will say that it's a sin, but they will only call for the government to stop child porn and obscenity, but they de facto allow a free speech right to create Playboy and Penthouse.
Right.
So, all right, Quinn, thank you so much for being there and taking a stand. God bless
you.
Really appreciate that. Now we go to the atheist, originally from Maui. That's where I met Forrest, who called into the show, and now he's back. Forrest, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you.
Welcome back. What's up?
Yep. Well, I heard you talking about Bill Clinton lying, and I really take issue with, I believe you're very much a hypocrite. And I can point out fact after fact after fact of areas where you leave out information purposely, or when you find out something isn't true, that you don't announce it back to your...
All right, Forrest, you've made two accusations so far, that when I said Bill Clinton is a liar,
no,
there was
said,
something...
That's fine.
All right, so you're agreeing Bill Clinton is a liar.
Yes.
And your second one is that I'm a hypocrite.
Right.
So go ahead. You're on the air. You could substantiate that. Make an effort.
All right. Basically, you tell people things that aren't true, or you'll give half-truths and you won't give them the other portion for your listeners to hear. But I can bet that if they take half of what you say and do research on it, they'll find out that it's not true.
Okay, well, here's your great opportunity to give two or three of your strongest examples.
Okay, well, I'm not going to give two or three of my strongest examples, but I'll give three examples that I can think of.
All right.
The first one, you were talking about the moon and how that scientists felt that there could be 20 feet of dust on the moon.
Yeah, you're going back years onto this program.
Right.
And that's...
How do you feel about that now? Do you think that you were wrong?
Well, I think that NASA thinks it was wrong in that when NASA designed the lunar landers, they designed them with feet of very wide pods because the evolutionist feared that the moon would have dozens of feet of dust or hundreds of feet of dust, and they engineered for that. And when they got there, they said, well, they found there's only a couple inches of dust. And creationists took that argument and said, they, in fact, they predicted, look, there will only be a couple inches of dust on the moon because the moon is not millions of years old. It's relatively young. It's only thousands of years old. And so what the evolutionists did, when they got to the moon, they didn't find 50 or 100 feet of dust. They said, you know what? We miscalculated the amount of dust in the solar system. There's not as much as we thought. And so that's why there's not all that much dust. There's not millions of years of dust accumulating.
And
so
you researched that, and you found that to be factual statements?
So creationists have backed off of their argument was based on NASA estimating, along with old Earth atheists generally, that if the moon has been there for 5 billion years, it would have a large quantity of dust on the surface.
Well, that's incorrect information.
What's incorrect?
That NASA felt that there would be many feet of dust on the moon. As a matter of fact, they took many missions that surrounded the moon. They took many pictures of the moon. They knew that there was dust on the moon.
Well, Neil Armstrong,
they didn't think that it was many, many things. I spoke to Dr. Thomas Gold in Vermont, and he was one of the designers of the feet. And he said that they thought there could be a pile of dust where it would topple over.
Dr. Thomas Gold. Now, here's what I want to try to do. I want to make a phone call right now and get to a retired engineer, Bob Ball, in Indiana, who was much younger back then, and he could help me recollect the story. We're going to play a commercial break, and we'll put in that call. And I recall that Neil Armstrong has said publicly that one of the fears of landing on the moon was the amount of dust that they could end up sinking into. So hold on, we'll get to a break, Forrest. And so that's one example. And so are you denying that atheists and evolutionists believed that there might be dozens of feet or hundreds of feet of dust on the moon? Are you denying that
there
that was,
may have been
that that
atheists
was...
or Christians or evolutionists working at NASA, but I am sure that you can't make a statement like evolutionist.
All right, and
that's ridiculous.
You're
talking about NASA, a group to land on the moon.
Yeah,
you're not concerned about the animals evolving.
Yeah, I'm talking about NASA and the general atheistic consensus that the moon is about 5 billion years old, and that's why they feared for the dust. So hold on, all right? And you said you talked to Dr. Thomas Gold?
That's right, at the University of Vermont in Burlington.
University of Vermont. All right. Well, this is interesting for us. You brought something interesting, so thank you. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Have you seen the Bob and Yurt Live catalog? It's got so many neat resources, like videos such as Get Out of the Matrix, when I debated a college philosophy class, and Eagle Eggs, when does an eagle become an eagle? Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, and God and the death penalty. And then there's Video Fruitcake with hilarious liberal callers. So call in and ask for the Bob and Yurt Live catalog, or get it on the web at kgov.com. Of course, all these materials are listed and described on the internet, or call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We'd love to send you a Bob and Yurt Live catalog, so give us a ring. We're back. Bob and Yurt, 1-800-8-NYURT, 1-800-836-9278. Let's go back to Forrest. And Forrest, I wasn't able to reach Bob Ball right then during that break, but here's what we'll do when we get on the air next week. I'll report back, and here's my contention, that it was generally believed that the amount of dust on the moon was a significant concern for NASA that they engineered for and addressed. And afterward, it was a bit of an embarrassment, and they quickly said, no, we miscalculated how much dust is in the solar system, and of course there wasn't that much there.
Okay, and I contend that Thomas Gold stated to me that that was a ridiculous statement. He said that there were that they thought there may have been drifts, which I'm sure there are, of dust, just like there are drifts of snow. And if one of the, and this makes much more of a sensible explanation, and so if they had pads, that one of the sides wouldn't sink into a drift and topple the eagle over.
Well, there's no atmosphere on the moon, so there's no wind, and there's not drifts in the sense
there's gravity.
There, right, but there's no wind. And
doesn't have to have wind. If it,
well,
if
to
it's
have
gravity.
To have drifts, Forrest, and what they have on the moon, you have collisions on the moon, meteorites slamming into the moon and virtually vaporizing the meteorites and the lunar surface, and that creates dust, which settles. There's not drifts like snow drifts on the Earth, as far as I know, which is caused by weather patterns and winds. So anyway, so if indeed you spoke to Thomas, Dr. Thomas Gold, at the University of Vermont, and he, in fact, was involved and told you that story, I would think he'd be spinning it, because it was a bit of an embarrassment. But I'll report with more detail on that.
Another thing you
next
do
week's show. Go ahead.
Another example is you you like to incite people to have different factions when there really isn't a faction there in the first place. And one of the things that you do is you state about how people hate God. And I'm 45 years old, not much younger than you. What, 1 or 2 years?
Yeah.
And I have never met one single person that states that they hate God or that they hate the Bible. That is your interpretation. It's a terrible word, and you say it all the time. I think that
Forrest,
is so ridiculous.
Forrest, if I were to read the first email you sent to us in the last 10 years on the air, people would be horrified. You had actually one of our staff members afraid of you. And I said, just reply to Forrest and invite him to call in. And they were afraid because of the dripping, visceral hatred that you poured out through your email.
It's not hatred.
Yeah,
You state so many things to people that are cruel and mean, and you say that it's godly to do so. And so don't tell me that when I state things that I feel are factual for the future, that's not something that's hateful. That's just something that I feel is going to happen because you don't have any means of you talk about being humble and humility. I don't think that you have any humbleness.
Forrest, would you get that, pull up on your computer, that first email you sent and read it to us?
Sure.
Okay. And you've sent maybe 3 in the last few weeks, so I mean
I don't know if I have it because my email thing doesn't automatically save it. But I can tell you some things that I've said on there. I believe that your children and your wife may say to you one day, see ya. See you later, and not deal with you anymore, because they realize that you don't have, I mean, I can't believe how you would come on the air and you would incite people where there's no incitement at all.
All right, now, hey,
I want to challenge your viewers.
All right, Forrest, hold on a second. I was just reading something, looking up about the moon dust, so I let you talk there unopposed for a moment. I'm going to put you on hold, and why don't you look for that first email you sent us.
I don't think I have it, actually.
Well, why don't you look for a moment? Because it was only, three weeks ago or two weeks ago?
I'm looking now, and I don't see it because I don't think... Oh, wait. Here's one.
All right. Yeah, go ahead. Pause. Look for that, and then we'll talk about me saying people hate God.
No, I don't hate God.
No,
I don't even believe in God.
I said we'll talk about me
if
saying...
If you're concerned that Bob's audience...
All right, I put Forrest on hold. Forrest, don't talk over me. Okay, I just brought you back. See if you can find the email.
I have emails right here.
Okay, you found the first email you sent?
Let me see if I can find the first one. Go to the next one.
I think it mentions my kids and...
Yeah, it states that I...
Okay, hold on a second. Before we get to that...
It's right here,
All right, before we get to that...
Sure.
Could you give me the name of the two experimental programs that NASA sent to the moon to try to determine how much dust was on the surface of the moon because of their... concern that the equipment might sink into the dust.
I don't believe that that's even a fact. So
okay,
I don't have those things.
Okay, it's
and
it's
I don't know what site you're getting that from, but it's certainly not from the NASA site.
It's called Ranger. They had two experimental programs, all right? Ranger and Surveyor. And these were sent to the moon to assess the problem of how much dust was on the surface of the moon. And that is something so easy, right? People could just Google that. Go to NASA, Google it, and find out about the Ranger program and the Surveyor program to determine. And Ranger, of course, is spelled R-A-N-G-E-R, and Surveyor, S-U-R-V-E-Y-O-R. And so, Forrest, after listening to the show on and off for years, one of the big examples you have is how I mischaracterized years ago that NASA was concerned with the amount of dust on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And
You stated that the gold things on, this is what you stated. You stated that the eagle, that the reason why they had gold pads, and you showed pictures of them too,
was because
they were afraid that there was.
The lunar lander was sent up with oversized.
That was wrong.
It's not wrong. In fact,
it's
you could
wrong
look.
That that's the reason
right,
why they
you,
had oversized.
Forrest, you just said that NASA was not concerned about the amount of dust on the moon, and I
not
just
not at the time they sent the Eagle lander.
Okay,
they
now,
might have been
now,
concerned earlier,
now,
but that's not what you said.
Right, and I'm still going to maintain. In fact, I recall that Neil Armstrong stated that that was one of his chief concerns personally about the amount of dust they'd encounter. And so, at least it seems like you've backed down.
No, I have not backed down
from your
at
position
all.
Just earlier on the show, and you're generally admitting that
I'm
okay.
Not.
Okay, are you admitting that at least before the human landing on the moon, that NASA was concerned about how much dust was up there?
I'm sure that they had that in their thoughts, but it's not what you stated.
Oh, okay,
you stated
but now
so that it wouldn't sink into 20 feet of dust.
Okay,
that's what you stated.
Are you agreeing because of the evidence I just mentioned?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so you're not sure. You're not even sure if NASA was ever concerned about the amount of dust on the moon.
No, I do believe that they were concerned about. At one time, about the amount of dust on the moon, but that is not
okay.
what you stated.
All right, and we'll bring more evidence to that. Okay, go ahead and read your email to me.
Okay, it says, "I see you are up to some old baloney still. Just what side of godly do you think you are on? Certainly not the honest one. In time, you will eventually fail in your entire life. Your children and your wife will abandon you as one of the worst fiends they have ever known. My prediction on this will come true. Unlike your predictions of how the U.S. will become some version of a theocracy that you believe in." Which I'm trying to think of what they call it. But anyway, how would you handle your life when most of your ignorant followers abandon you too? This will happen, that I can promise you. Still preaching that overpopulation is a force and that global warming is a myth, you know, is a farce and global warming is a myth, still waging your little war of science versus God. You don't like science, Bob. You don't want to know science. That I just added. Still preaching that the Bible is inerrant and Lot turned his wife into a pillar of salt, which goes against physics, and that or that dinosaurs were on the ark and mountains with shells on their tops proves that Noah and the ark was real. the Andes. I mean, not the Andes, but the Himalayas. You stated that those fossils that they found up there proves that Noah in the Ark was real and that Jonah was really swallowed by a whale. You are a fool, Bob Emyer, and it will not be long before even your children realize this. When they are older, you will be fortunate if they do not commit suicide. And the reason why I said that is because if one of them, heaven forbid, happens to be gay or happens to not do what you think is right, as you like to be so right-sided, that they might. My wish is that they realize what an, well, I won't say that word on the air, you are, and that you can't choose your parents and will leave before too much self-destruction under your watch takes hold. You don't realize, Bob, what vile things you put out there on the air that you think are so right, that you think are so righteous in God, which they are totally not righteous.
Okay, all right.
Honesty is something you may never realize, as you are so pompous and haughty that you run away from any reality of truth in order that you can be right. Not correct, but right. Dr. Phil has a great way of putting it, right-sided. In any case, know that the real demons in the world are hateful preachers, such as yourself, who create wars where there should be peace, who spread lies, tell people that they hate God, that they hate the Bible, where you have absolutely no evidence of that whatsoever. And when I go out and I talk to people, not one person have I ever met says that they hate
God,
Forrest, says that they hate the Bible.
All right,
that's
Forrest,
not truthful.
All right, now, when you write that my children and my wife will abandon me, I'm one of the worst fiends, my ignorant followers, I suggest to you that that is dripping hatred coming from you to me. And if you can't identify that, then
you're not God. You're not God, and don't tell me that my writing that to you means that I hate God or that I hate the Bible.
Well, I said
and
that
I don't
your
hate
email...
You. I'm angry at you, Bob, because when I was
Forrest,
in elementary school, I
that,
wondered why
Forrest,
people didn't do something.
Forrest, that email is dripping hatred. When you write to someone that your children and your wife will abandon you, you're one of the worst fiends in the world.
And calling Hillary.
We're out of time. You're ignorant followers. When I brought up that email, it wasn't as an example that you hate God. It was that you have hatred toward me. And you can't. I don't believe you're able to assess your own emotional condition. We'll talk more about this next week. God bless you.